To all of our moms this morning, happy Mother's Day. I wonder if we just take a moment. I wonder what kinds of things come to your mind when you think of mom this morning. Maybe just a random from your seat. What words define or describe mom?
Extremely talented.
They master the art of juggling, don't they?
Sacrificing.
Chocolate ice cream. Yeah, man. We're all going to Rich's house afterwards. It's good. Yep.
Love.
Love. Godliness and integrity.
Faithful.
Patience.
Smart teacher.
Stern.
Selfless.
Privileged. That's my mom, by the way. She didn't always feel privileged to raise me. Why? What else?
A lingua what? In Chinese, when we didn't behave, my mother
come over,
whack us.
Okay, good. Lingua. It sounds Italian. Lingua. Good. A couple more.
Honored, blessed.
Unconditional.
Negotiating.
Yeah. Tired. Yes.
Disciplinarian.
A friend. Yes.
Never ending.
Those terms, they continue to grow. And as we, if we had time and opportunity to keep thinking, I'm sure many of you can look back and see that mom was that and so many more. And to our moms this morning, we say thank you. Thank you very much. Happy Mother's Day. It was interesting. I had a nice conversation with my wife this past week, and we were in the car, and she said, "You know, it's very important. You know, Mother's Day it is." And I said, "Yeah, I get that." And she said, "Well, you know, if it wasn't for a woman, Jesus wouldn't have come into the world." And I said, "Yeah, I get that." I said, "But you know, if it wasn't for a woman, Jesus wouldn't have had to come into the world." Oh, I know there's so much theologically wrong with that. But she walked right in. Oh, it was wonderful. Rarely do we have those opportunities. It wasn't Memorex. This morning, I want us to take a look at one of the most godly and most revered women in all of human history. A woman that I think oftentimes gets overlooked, perhaps because of some of the extreme titles and views of other people. Nonetheless, she stands out as one of the most, indeed perhaps the most, highly favored and blessed women of all time. I'm speaking obviously of Mary, the mother of Jesus. The title of my message this morning, in a very Protestant sense, is The Blessed Mother. And rightly so. I think so many times we as Protestants tend to throw the baby out with the bathwater and miss the opportunity to hold in honor and learn from the examples that God has put before us. And there is no one quite like Mary, the mother of Jesus, as we consider godly role models, specifically of women in the scripture. We're introduced to Mary as a young teenage girl, a young girl who was presented with one of the most challenging and rewarding callings that could ever be bestowed on a human being. Just a little bit of background about Mary. When Mary was born, the golden age of Israel's proud history was over. Nobody from King David's family had ruled Jerusalem for over 500 years. The Jews were still waiting for their Messiah, the one that they looked for and indeed longed for, the one the scriptures from Genesis to Malachi said would come and arrive on the scene and rule over his people and on David's throne forever. That's what they waited for and longed for. Mary was raised in a humble and godly Jewish upbringing. Her father, Nathan, was a descendant of King David. And so Mary, from the earliest of age, learned the ways of God and certainly had a tremendous appreciation and devotion and love to Jehovah. Mary was from a town named Nazareth. Now, to you and I, we hear Nazareth and we think of a good place where Jesus was born, and so we don't realize that that wasn't always like that. Interestingly, Nazareth was a place, a center point of where a lot of sinful activity would take place in Nazareth. It was located just 4 miles from the Roman garrison at Sepphoris. And when the boys in the army got a few days leave and some bonus pay, they went to Nazareth, where they could find some cheap wine and some cheap women and find a night of partying. And so Nazareth was the party place for many a soldier. That was the town that Mary grew up in. A little different than the picture we may have had of Nazareth, now knowing that Jesus came from there, but that was not the best place to grow up. And it's there in Nazareth that Mary is approached by the angel Gabriel. If you have your Bibles with you, let's turn together to Luke chapter 1. I love reading this story when it's not Christmas time. It's a reminder to appreciate it all year long. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said those wonderful words that certainly give us some tremendous insight into her heart. She said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. There are many times that our familiarity with a story and our awareness of the outcome can cause us to miss the very real and the very human implications of what Mary must have been thinking when she was tapped by God to carry the Christ child. Surely there was an overflow of great emotion. Here she is in the middle of what was probably a very ordinary day. We don't know exactly where she was or what she was doing. Perhaps she was doing her daily chores. We don't know. But what we do know is that in the midst of the ordinary, she is interrupted by the extraordinary. Surely at no point in the day did she think something like this was about to happen. And the implications of what she was called to do can get lost in our understanding of all that it meant, but we would do very well to consider what she was being asked to do, what it meant to her during that time. In a moment of time, this young teenage girl's life was forever changed as she encountered Gabriel, the angel of God, with the message that she was called to carry the Christ. And so why Mary? Some would suggest that it had to do with something that was righteous within her, something in her that deserved that kind of a calling. However, Gabriel makes it clear that God's choosing was an act of grace. He says, "Greeting you who are highly favored." Highly favored means to receive grace from God. And grace, by its very nature and definition, is unearned, is to have something unearned or unmerited, to be given something that we do not deserve. And so logically, if God is going to reach out to the ordinary, well, certainly he would begin that process by reaching out to an ordinary girl, perhaps who grew up on the wrong side of the tracks, in an ordinary environment, to bring forth the extraordinary. And Mary was tapped by God to do the unthinkable. Imagine how that young teenage girl must have wrestled with the consequences of her calling. I'm sure it happened all the time in Nazareth. As the soldiers would be on leave and come and visit Nazareth, I'm sure the consequence or the fruit of their presence there oftentimes would remain. Who would believe this young girl? Who would believe such a story? How would she even begin to explain this to her family? Certainly, she would become the topic of conversation at many a table in Nazareth. Did you hear about Mary and what she said happened to her? And here's what I love about Mary. Knowing full well what others would say, we don't see in the text any moment of pause. With Mary's response, we see in verse 38, she says, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Let it be to me according to your word. This young girl who was sold out for the purposes of God. This response to the angel gives clarity as to what was going on the inside of her. There is no moment of pause. There is no consideration for inconvenience. There is no worry about her reputation. Her response is quick, and it is very revealing of the character and the godliness and the love and the loyalty that she had for God as she declared, "Be it unto me according to your word." She was aware that God's reputation was more important than her own. She hears the call, she counts the cost, and she submits to her Lord. Not knowing fully well all that would imply. And moms, you get that. You have children and you don't know what the future is going to hold. But you do it anyway. You're faithful anyway. And God who did not accidentally give you the children that you have, gives you the grace to continue to do what you do as an act of worship to God. Certainly you do it out of love for them, but ultimately, it's an act of worship to God, regardless of the circumstances. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. We must always remember that our calling and your calling, it's a high calling from God, And it's an act of worship to God. And Mary, without having to ask the details, without having to ask the nature of the relationship that she would have with her son, her response was not even out of love for her son, who she did not know. Her response and her willingness was out of love for her God, who she did know. Be it unto me according to your word. I am the maidservant of the Lord. I'll serve the boy, but I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be unto me according to your word. Luke records that Mary was engaged to Joseph. You see, if what God was calling Mary to do wasn't complicated enough, you add a young woman who's engaged into the equation, and you have a recipe for scandal. Engagement in Jewish times was unlike the engagement period that we know of here in the United States. When a couple was engaged, it included a solemn vow to one another that could only be broken by issuing a certificate of divorce. The loyalty, the commitment, the vow was as strong in the engagement period as it was in the marriage period, but there was no consummation of the marriage. And the vow to one another during the engagement period was, I will wait for you. And now she's having to hope that Joseph understands, that Joseph believes her. Added to the mix, what others might not only now think of her, but think of Joseph as well. And so she has got to break the news to her betrothed and hope that he believes this incredulous story of what God had called her to do. You can't miss the courage of this woman, the godliness and the willingness of this teenage girl to obey her God, to do whatever it was he was calling her to do. There's so much we can learn from her courage and her godliness and her commitment. How many times when we consider the things that God is calling us to do, do we think about, well, you know what, maybe that's going to cost me too much. That's going to ostracize me. That's going to embarrass me. God, I can't do it because of this or that or the other thing, but not Mary. Mary said, behold, I am the maidservant of the Lord. Who cares what it costs me? Let it be unto me according to your word. One of the few times in Scripture where we see somebody is tapped by God and the immediate response is yes. We've got Gideon who needs, he's got to throw out fleece. Yes. What a great example we can learn from her. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. God, I choose to be yours. I'm not the servant of anybody else. I'm the maidservant of the Lord. Be it unto me according to your word. Not my way, but your way, God. And this teenage girl does what every other teenage girl does when something exciting happens in their life. They go and they tell a friend. That's exactly what happens. She heads off to go see her cousin Mary in Luke chapter 1 and in verse 39. Let's take a look at that. And in those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this, Elizabeth is saying, why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Wow. For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. What an incredible salutation. What a great welcoming that we see taking place. What an incredible day this must have been. Elizabeth hears the voice of Mary, and Elizabeth, who is carrying child way beyond her years, carrying the forerunner, John the Baptist, and just as they come into the presence of one another and she hears the voice of Mary, the baby leaps inside her womb. You've got the Son of God and you've got the forerunner footsteps away from one another. And John the Baptist leaps with joy of whose presence he was in. And interestingly, and Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, and she begins to prophesy, "Blessed are you among women. Why is it granted me that the mother of my Lord shall come?" You can't miss, there's a revival going on. As Elizabeth and Mary meet, you can't miss the emotion of what's going on. These two ladies find themselves right in the middle of God's story. Who would have thought? And I love this. Mary's not only willing to take on the ridicule from others. She's not only willing to be inconvenienced for the purposes of God, but she's excited about it. She's glorifying God. And what she does is now, in the presence of Elizabeth, she begins to give praise to God for what God has done for her. She cries out in verse 47, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. Behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. And now Mary is beginning to prophesy. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. That's not bad for a 13-year-old girl. What a day that must have been. And you know the story. I don't need to go into major detail of how things transpired from there. Joseph embraces the plan of God for their lives. The day finally arrives in a little town called Bethlehem. There's no room for them at the inn, and so they are to give birth to the Savior in a stable, in a humble beginning. And he is born. And Mary almost prophetically takes the Christ child and puts him in a manger, a feeding trough. And the message is very clear, that God has given us the Son that we would take him in, that we would consume him as he lie in the manger. And she watched him grow in wisdom and stature. The very real feelings of motherhood were present in Mary. I'm sure as that child latched on, she latched one eye with his and watched as he nursed. And she watched him grow from infancy to childhood. From childhood to those teenage years. To those teenage years to becoming a young man. And she watched him grow and saw how the crowds would gather around her son as he would heal their sick. And he would preach freedom to those who were in bondage. She saw the plan and the purposes of God unfolding before her eyes as her son's ministry began to turn the world upside down, as it began to catch the attention of everybody, as he would silence the mouths of the Pharisees and the religious leaders with his wisdom. The lepers were cleansed. The deaf were hearing. The lame were walking. The blind were seeing. The dead were being raised. Those who were in bondage and under oppression from demonic spirits were set free from the words of her son, Jesus. And how she must have watched and wondered and thought to herself, who am I to be the mother of such a one? And then that day came. We call it Good Friday, but it was anything but good for this mom. As she watched the apple of her eye become the subject of others' hatred and ultimately become the object of God's wrath, as he gave it all on the cross. And while he was up there, his mother was on his mind. John records it in chapter 19, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, the speaking of John, standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. And see, we see Jesus, even in his humanity on the cross, wanting to make sure that his mom was taken care of by John. Scripture doesn't record, and oh, how I wish it did, the reuniting of Jesus with his mother after the resurrection. We know it took place, but how I would have loved to be a fly near the cave, right? As she who she loved in a way that nobody on the earth had ever loved him, and saw all that happened to her son as he was massacred before her very eyes. She saw him die. She saw him put into the tomb. But now, 3 days later, she had opportunity to see the son. Could you imagine the mix of emotion that must have been going on in the heart of this mom? I can't even begin to speculate. It would be wrong to communicate where the scripture does not clarify. But surely it must have been an incredible day of reuniting. This mix of emotion in appreciation for her son and her God, whom she committed to before her son was even within her. Mary was a godly woman who put the plan and the purposes of God before her own interest. What a great role model for you and I to follow. She put the plan and purposes of God before her own reputation, and despite the challenges and despite the heartbreak and despite the, the shortened amount of time that she would have with her son, only a short amount of time, 33 years. She has established herself as an example of a godly, unselfish lover of God, to whom we should learn from her example. She wasn't sinless. She's not your savior. Her body was not assumed into heaven. She was not perfect, but she certainly was a tremendous hero of the faith and a wonderful example to so many of us. She is and was a very blessed, highly favored mother for all of us to look to. And to our moms who are present today, who can read the story of Mary in a way that only a mom can, may her life and her faith inspire you and encourage you as you continue to be a blessing to those who would look to you and call you mom. So from the bottom of my heart, happy Mother's Day. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for the examples that you give to us in the scriptures that we can learn from and glean from and then seek to follow after and apply to our own lives. I thank you for every mom that's in this place today. Lord, for those who are moms of young children and growing children, I pray that you'd give them great grace and great wisdom. That as those young ones grow, that you would help them to continue to grow with them and point them to you. For our moms who have children that are older and some perhaps even out of the house, remind them that you never stop being a mom. Lord, help them to draw off of you in those times as they see and perhaps even feel like their job was done long before they wanted it to. I pray, Father, that you would bless each woman here today. For those who have moms who are no longer here, I pray that the memory of what they have left behind would be carried out and lived out through the lives of each person. We thank you. We thank you for this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Happy Mother's Day. Let's stand together.